From our biggest cities to our smallest towns, the history of cars and commerce in Michigan runs deep. Earlier this week, Current State aired part one of a conversation with Gilmore Car Museum's Jay Follis. He visited WKAR's Peter Wharf on this. He's director of marketing at Hickory Corner's world-renowned collection and author of the recent Michigan History Magazine article, Agents of Change, Michigan's Early Car Dealers. Now, Jay's fascination with car culture has been lifelong. In this second of a two-part series, Jay leads off by recalling a few bygone badges of auto history from Peerless, Waverly, Winton, and Yale.
Well, those are all individual car companies. In, like, Waverly, that was an electric car. Believe it or not, we had electric cars way back. We think that's a new thing, but even here at the Gilmore Car Museum, we have a 1903 electric. So electric and steam were very popular. Towards the late 1890s, turn of the century, people were experimenting with them. But those were cars that people would buy because they thought, wow, this is a great new thing to try. So Waverly Electric, mobile steam cars. Winton was one of the automobiles that was the first one to drive clear across the country. And you think, well, that's no big deal. Well, it was a huge deal for them, about 60 days. And even when you get into like 1909, the first woman to do it, there's only been 9 men that ever drove across the country for that. So we take these things for granted. But yeah, they're all different car companies. In fact, Peerless was an electric car company. And kind of, I get sidetracked on these things, but Peerless during the Great Depression had a terrible time, was having a hard time making any money. And of course, that's also Prohibition time. And as soon as Prohibition was removed for alcohol sales, they said, you know what? The board met and they said, maybe we should stop making automobiles. Let's start making brewing beer. And so today, Peerless is now a black label, Carlin's Black Label. So it's just odd how these companies kind of jumped around. But there was a lot of different manufacturers that people don't necessarily think of. There was over 2,200 manufacturers of automobiles up until about this time right now. So a lot of them didn't make it.
There were many, many manufacturers. It's more of a handmade, handcrafted boutique business, wasn't it?
Yeah, almost. When you think about it, if you were a small startup company, you weren't making thousands and thousands of these horses, carriages, or automobiles. You're maybe making 50 or 100, or maybe you made 20 this year. And because you made 10 last year and you made 20 this year, you're considered your auto manufacturer. Or maybe you start out making two or three, and you think you're going to do really well, and then you fold. And a lot of the companies actually would do things. They would run in races, or they would run in drives across the country, hoping just to get publicity, but also to let people know that, hey, our car can make it. We're driving a brush, and so a brush can make it across the country. And when they did that, most people would contact the company and buy it directly from the company. They say, we want to buy your car and buy it from the company. But you had a handful of folks that looked at that and thought, wait a minute, why would the company want to sell them direct? If I can buy one, maybe I could sell them. And so a lot of these folks would buy a car and end up saying, all right, I bought it for X price, I'm going to try and sell it and become one of the first dealers. And a great example of that is up in Menominee, Upper Peninsula, we have a gentleman by the name of Duff Poyer, 1900. He buys a locomobile. It's a steam carriage, basic. And really, this thing, when you look at one, we have one here at the museum, when you look at one, it looks like a buggy. But it's this little steam motor underneath it. So he buys this for $700. He decides, all right, I'm going to sell it to anybody that'll buy it for $750. That's pretty good profit.
Right.
So he takes it to the local newspaper and says, hey, I'm going to take you for a ride in this thing. And the editor goes, oh, my word, what an opportunity. I've got a ride in this thing. So he hops in, it rides around, and the paper reports about how this car is fantastic. And if they had the extra money to buy this steam carriage, he would certainly buy one because it would be great for their business. And they write about how it took off at it shot out like a wild tiger at the 20-mile gate or something to that effect. And just really like, wow, this is fantastic. But when they got back to the newspaper after driving around, they went around Menominee and then it crossed over into Wisconsin, drove around. You know, they come back and they're all excited, and who's there to meet them? The local sheriff from over in Wisconsin, and he tells them, if you come back into our state with that contraption again, I'll arrest you. And so you think, wow, things really have changed.
Jay Follis is a writer, historian, director of marketing at the Gilmore Car Museum in Hickory Corners near Kalamazoo. He's author of the recent Michigan History Magazine article, Agents of Change, Michigan's Early Car Dealers. That's what we're talking about today on Current State. We were talking a little while ago about Waverly, Mobile, Winton, Peerless, and Yale. All of those badges came under the name at one point of William Metzger.
Yes, exactly. And William was one of these guys that obviously had a...
He was in Detroit.
He was in Detroit, had a lot of, forethought. You'd look at it and you'd say, this is something I've got to get involved with. And he actually went to the first auto show. First documented auto show was in 1895 in London. And he was a bicycle salesman. He had a store that sold actually bicycles and Victrolas. There's some fantastic photos of his original shop, and you can look in there and you can see records and phonograph discs.
He's like car, he was like the first car stereo dealer.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of combined the two. Well, he thought, gosh, I should start selling some of these cars. So he went out and started talking to these different companies, and he ended up becoming the first Oldsmobile dealer in 1899. He builds his first dealership there in downtown Detroit at his bicycle shop, and then he becomes the first Cadillac dealer. He actually did that as a branch. It was owned by Cadillac versus being his dealer where he would buy the cars. He operated it for him, and they eventually went to work for Cadillac. So we really give him credit for being the really first dedicated dealership, and that's William Metzger, and he's right there in Detroit.
And at one point, he sold all these different cars. And he was the first Olds dealer, and at that time, that was really the only Detroit car he sold in there in Detroit.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, a lot of people give credit to Henry Ford for getting everybody on the road. In reality, it was the Oldsmobile
right. That
really did it, because they were able to sell a car very inexpensive that was something that anybody could operate. It really wasn't difficult. They did very well with the car that looks almost, the shape of it looked kind of like a buggy with a curved front. They call it a curved dash Oldsmobile.
We're familiar with that here in Lansing at the at the REO Museum.
And it had the tiller steering, very simple to operate. So they really, they're the ones that I believe really got the people on the road, because here in Michigan, we didn't have great roads. You didn't have to worry about, do I know how to operate this? You know, you think of a lot of these other cars, especially as you get a few years later, you'd have to really know what you're doing or have somebody travel with you, either a mechanic or a chauffeur. And that's where it kind of gets the feeling that it was something for the rich. Well, the curved dash Oldsmobile certainly was something everybody could get behind.
Jay Follis is a writer and historian, director of marketing at the Gilmore Car Museum in Hickory Corners, just outside of Kalamazoo, Michigan. He's also author of the recent article, Agents of Change, Michigan's Early Car Dealers. Thanks a lot, Jay.
Thank you.
For Current State, this is Peter Wharf.